Neither Ron nor Hermione was at all sympathetic when Harry told them of this disastrous interview. Hermione was still seething at the way Harry had triumphed without doing the work properly. Ron was resentful that Harry hadn't slipped him a Beezor too. "It would have just looked stupid if we'd both done it," said Harry irritably. "Look, I had to try and soften him up so I could ask him about Voldemort, didn't I? Oh, will you get a grip?" he added in exasperation as Ron winced at the sound of the name. Infuriated by his failure and by Ron and Hermione's attitudes, Harry brooded for the next few days over what to do next about Slughorn. He decided that, for the time being, he would let Slughorn think that he had forgotten all about Horcruxes. It was surely best to lull him into a false sense of security before returning to the attack. When Harry did not question Slughorn again, the potion's master reverted to his usual affectionate treatment of him, and appeared to have put the matter from his mind. Harry awaited an invitation to one of his little evening parties, determined to accept this time, even if he had to reschedule Quidditch practice. Unfortunately, however, no such invitation arrived. Harry checked with Hermione and Ginny. Neither of them had received an invitation, and nor, as far as they knew, had anyone else. Harry could not help wondering whether this meant that Slughorn was not quite as forgetful as he appeared, simply determined to give Harry no additional opportunities to question him. Meanwhile, the Hogwarts library had failed Hermione for the first time in living memory. She was so shocked she even forgot that she was annoyed at Harry for his trick with the Beezor. "I haven't found one single explanation of what Horcruxes do," she told him. "Not a single one. I've been right through the restricted section, and even in the most horrible books where they tell you how to brew the most gruesome potions, nothing. All I could find was this in the introduction to Magic Most Evil. Listen. Of the Horcrux, wickedest of magical inventions, we shall not speak nor give direction." "I mean, why mention it then?" she said impatiently, slamming the old book shut. It let out a ghostly wail. "Oh, shut up," she snapped, stuffing it back into her bag. The snow melted around the school as February arrived, to be replaced by cold, dreary wetness. Purplish-grey clouds hung low over the castle, and a constant fall of chilly rain made the lawn slippery and muddy. The upshot of this was that the sixth year's first apparition lesson, which was scheduled for a Saturday morning so that no normal lessons would be missed, took place in the Great Hall instead of in the grounds. When Harry and Hermione arrived in the hall, Ron had come down with Lavender, they found that the tables had disappeared. Rain lashed against the high windows and the enchanted ceiling swirled darkly above them as they assembled in front of Professors McGonagall, Snape, Flitwick and Sprout, the heads of houses, and a small wizard whom Harry took to be the apparition instructor from the Ministry. He was oddly colourless, with transparent eyelashes, wispy hair, and an insubstantial air, as though a single gust of wind might blow him away. Harry wondered whether constant disappearances and reappearances had somehow diminished his substance, or whether this frail build was ideal for anyone wishing to vanish.
"Good morning,"
said the Ministry wizard, when all the students had arrived and the heads of houses had called for quiet.
"My name is Wilkie Twycross, and I shall be your Ministry apparition instructor for the next 12 weeks. I hope to be able to prepare you for your apparition tests in this time." "Malfoy, be quiet and pay attention," barked Professor McGonagall.
Everybody looked around. Malfoy had flushed a dull pink. He looked furious as he stepped away from Crabbe, with whom he appeared to have been having a whispered argument. Harry glanced quickly at Snape, who also looked annoyed, though Harry strongly suspected that this was less because of Malfoy's rudeness than the fact that McGonagall had reprimanded one of his house.
"By which time, many of you may be ready to take your tests,"
Twycross continued, as though there had been no interruption.
"As you may know, it is usually impossible to apparate or disapparate within Hogwarts. The headmaster has lifted this enchantment purely within the Great Hall for 1 hour, so as to enable you to practice. May I emphasize that you will not be able to operate outside the walls of this hall, and that you would be unwise to try. I would like each of you to pace yourselves now so that you have a clear 5 feet of space in front of you."
There was a great scrambling and jostling as people separated, banged into each other, and ordered others out of their space. The heads of houses moved among the students, marshalling them into position and breaking up arguments.
"Harry, where are you going?"
demanded Hermione. But Harry did not answer. He was moving quickly through the crowd, past the place where Professor Flitwick was making squeaky attempts to position a few Ravenclaws, all of whom wanted to be near the front, past Professor Sprout, who was chivying the Hufflepuffs into line, until, by dodging around Ernie Macmillan, he managed to position himself right at the back of the crowd, directly behind Malfoy, who was taking advantage of the general upheaval to continue his argument with Crabbe, standing 5 feet away and looking mutinous.